Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard. Will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams' right. Williams going to throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is, Gio. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
What's going on, guys? It's the Heel Tough Blog Podcast here on a Friday night. Coming to you after the schedule release earlier this week for the 2024 season, as the Tar Heels found out what their journey will look like in their first year without Drake May. It's not going to be the easiest. It's a schedule that, you know, in the last couple of years, if that was the crew that you had that was taking on this schedule, you probably feel really, really good about the schedule. But because of the questions that Carolina has, I think it's a schedule that's interesting and has a lot of people, you know, sort of down on where the Tar Heels will ultimately end up. So we're going to tell you what we think of the schedule, ultimately what we think it means for this year's squad as they get ready to try to, you know, put together a more impressive season than the ones that we've seen here in the last couple of years in terms of where their preseason expectations are and where they ultimately end up at the end of the season. The good news is that the schedule towards the end, probably a little bit easier than the schedule that we saw this year. But let's, you know, first just, you know, get our initial impressions of it. You know, I gave you some of mine right there off the top. You know, buddy, what did you think, you know, when you saw the schedule? Ultimately, what do you think about the slate that the Tar Heels have coming up this year?
Really like the month of September, and it feels like that's got to be a month that Carolina takes advantage of to put themselves in a chance to A, make a bowl game, B, continue to have winning seasons under Mack Brown. You know, you got three straight home games, all games that you should win after you open the season on the road. And then you go to Duke, which is now a game that we've seen here recently be at the end of October, end of November, moved back into the end of September, which I think I kind of like the rivalry game with that game being a little bit earlier in the year as opposed to them being late closer to the NC State game. So, you know, you got to go to Florida State. We know the issues when it comes to playing there and playing that program. I'd rather play Boston College in September than December or November, but that's the hand that Carolina's been dealt. And, you know, it must not have been too bad because I don't recall hearing any comments from my head coach complaining about the slate the ACC dealt them for the 2024 season.
Well, it's still a little bit too early to find out what his takes are because, remember, usually – you have to wait until a Monday presser to find that out. So I don't know if we could say that just yet. God forbid there is another one of those types of scenarios coming up. But, I mean, look, I think there's opportunities here for this team. And again, it's like I said, if this was the schedule that this team had the last 2 years, even if Sam Howell was your quarterback, I feel like you would probably feel pretty confident about Carolina's chances to put together a really strong season. But the problem is that you just don't know what this team is ultimately going to look like. Yeah, you like the hire of Jeff Collins. You think that he's going to be a little more aggressive. But is this going to be a defense that can help this team win more games? Because offensively, we just really don't know what this team's going to look like. We like some of the things that we saw from Connor Harrell. We think there's a chance that he could be the next quarterback for Carolina. That court sort of continues this line of really good to great quarterbacks, but there's nothing guaranteed. We have no idea who's going to start the season opener at that position to begin with. And, you know, we still have no idea what this offensive line is going to look like. I mean, this could be a complete disaster along this offensive line. It's been bad the last few years, but this is a group that right now, I mean, we don't even know. You got a lot of guys that have been backups that couldn't even crack the rotation in terms of just getting, you know, periodic reps that are now going to be expected to take over starters reps. So it's a team that we just really don't know just how good they're actually going to be. And then they're faced with a schedule that, I mean, to be honest, there's a lot of teams on there that I think are question marks. I think you look at, you know, the opener, and let's go through the schedule here and sort of break it down a little bit for you, a little bit game by game. We'll start with the game against Minnesota on August 29th. That is a Thursday night game to begin the season. It is on the road to complete that home-and-home series. It'll be Carolina's first trip up there against the Golden Gophers. And this one, you know, look, first of all, has a great chance to be a nationally televised game. If I had to bet, because it's a road game, we've seen it before that the Thursday night, there's always some sort of Thursday night Big Ten game. Now, it could be a conference game. They usually like to do that. But there is a chance that this could end up being probably the FS1 game. So it could be a nationally televised game for Carolina right out of the gate on the road. Going to probably be a pretty lit environment there. Minnesota is a school that, you know, in the last few years has been pretty solid under PJ Fleck. The thing is, they're coming off a year where they weren't great. They now are hoping to turn things back in the right direction. It's going to, you know, could take a little bit of time. They didn't have the greatest portal, but I do think that that's still a toss-up game right out of the gate for Carolina, especially with all the question marks they have. Then you come home for three straight games, as you mentioned. It starts with Charlotte on September 7th. That'll be the first ever meeting between Carolina and Charlotte. Of course, Charlotte started their football program back in 2013. So Biff Poggi and the Niners will travel to Chapel Hill for that one. Carolina will then host North Carolina Central. That'll be the first time that Carolina will host their team in-state out of the FCS. Central, they've had back-to-back really solid years. They're a team that went to the FCS playoffs this past year. They won the Celebration Bowl 2 years ago. But at the same time, it's an FCS opponent. It's one that Carolina should not have much trouble handling. Then you have James Madison. Now, this is one that I've seen a lot of people that, you know, they're kind of all over the board on. The thing to remember about James Madison is they did lose a lot from this past year, including their head coach, Kurt Cignetti. I know a lot of people are still pretty high on them. They're still going to be a team that's probably going to be one of the favorites to win the Sun Belt. But I've seen a lot of people that are acting like this is a game that more than likely Carolina will lose. I think the thing that you have to look at is, one, it's at home. And two, I mean, we'll have to see what they look like in the first 3 weeks of the season. But I don't think this is going to be the same team from a year ago because of all that they lost. So I think that might be a little bit too aggressive to say that this is, you know, a team that can come into Chapel Hill and beat Carolina outright. You go to the final game in the month of September on the road at Duke. That one will be September 28th. Again, as you said, there were some people that are not happy about the fact that this game leads off conference play. They think this is a rivalry matchup. This should be one that you end up seeing later on in conference play. To me, I don't really think it's that much of it's that big of a deal. I mean, would I like to see it a little bit later in the schedule? Yeah, you would like to see it a little bit later, especially with the success that Carolina has had against Duke. I think that's more the reason that you'd be pounding that pounding the table for that over anything. But at the same time, I think, you know, you look at the where this, you know, game lines up in this circumstance. I mean, Carolina, if they win this game, there's a legitimate chance that they could start the season 6-0 again, because then Carolina, to start the month of October, goes back home, welcomes in Pitt, a team coming off of a really rough 2023 season, 3-9. Again, they're going into the portal to try to find help there at the quarterback position. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can bounce back. Other than that, not a great portal class that they've brought in. So it'll be really interesting to see if they're a team that bounces back quickly, or if they're a team that could take a little bit of time to build back under Pat Narduzzi, or who knows, could it be sort of the beginning of the end there for Pitt? Don't really, you know, want to get too hasty on that, because we've seen, you know, Pittsburgh's been pretty good over the last few years under his direction. But at the same time, I definitely think that, you know, there's a chance Carolina could get off to, you know, 4-2, I think, at the minimum. 5-1 start probably feels pretty safe there for you to have as an expectation. Then the schedule starts to get tough. And look, normally you would say, how is this supposed to be a tough game? But at this point, I mean, this game, I'll let you in. We'll go through and we'll do our record prediction. We'll do our game by game predictions and everything like that, so we can give you our record predictions towards the end of the show here. Georgia Tech, I'll just give it to you right now, as a loss. Until they prove to me that they can actually beat this team, it's a loss. October 12th, they welcome them back to Chapel Hill. Carolina has lost three straight to this program. They are historically terrible against them. So this is the game where, if you're looking for where could everything start to spin, it's probably either this game, or it could be the game against Virginia. But with the game against Georgia Tech, team that's probably going to be as good, if not better, than they were this past year, could be one of the best offenses in the ACC, if not one of the best offenses in the entire country, with Haynes King coming back. They are going to be a very legitimate team. Now, they did lose a lot in the transfer portal on the defensive side of the ball, so they got to figure out how to replace some of the guys there. But I still feel like they're going to be one of the tougher teams that Carolina has to face at home on this slate. Really tells you about where the home slate is at. Carolina then has a bye, which I think could be very helpful, especially if they do end up losing that game to Georgia Tech. But then they have to go on the road to a place that they have not performed well historically, and to a team that last year pretty much ended their season when they beat them in Chapel Hill, and that is Virginia on October 26th. I mean, this is another game. I know it was just one loss, but it honestly feels like that was a loss that was very similar to what they had the year before at home against Georgia Tech. I would be very shocked if it doesn't have a similar effect for Carolina. It's, again, one of those things where they probably have to prove it to you, but they will have a chance to do that, and they kind of need that one, because then you have to go on the road to start the month of November. You go on the road to face Florida State. Look, Florida State not going to be as good as they were this past year. I mean, this past year, we knew from even in the preseason, they were a national title contender out of the gate. But they are going to be a team that I think still has a chance to win the ACC. That's the reason they brought in DJU. I think it's a team that, you know, overall the roster has been built up over the last few years, the way that Mike Norvell is recruited, to at least be inside of the top 15 when Carolina faces them, which means that more than likely to that point, they will be the best team that Carolina plays. So that's going to be an extremely tough test. Remember, there's also the stat that Mack Brown has never beaten Florida State, the team that he played for when he was a player back in the 60s. So trying to get that first win against them has been extremely tough. Does not seem like it's going to be very easy again this year. Then Carolina comes home after another bye. So they get two byes within 4 weeks. I think, honestly, That's pretty good for Carolina. You kind of like that because you get the easier schedule out of the gate. You feel like Carolina can run through that. They don't really need any breaks. It'll allow them to get into a little bit of a rhythm. And then the two breaks that are in this second half of the season, one allows Carolina to get healthy, two allows them to be rested, and then you end up facing Wake Forest on November 16th in Keenan Stadium. Wake coming off a 4-8 season, not a great year by any stretch. They're another team very similar to Pittsburgh. How do they bounce back? I think with Dave Clawson, you might even have a little more trust than you have with Pat Narduzzi. The way that he's built that group up, the way he's done it by winning with a lot of guys that aren't highly rated recruits. It'll be interesting to see ultimately what that team ends up looking like. That one is almost a little bit of a wild card to me because you'd feel pretty good on the surface. I mean, Carolina beat two of their better teams. They've won three straight against them, and really three of their better teams actually consecutively. Now, all of them were classics. They were all shootouts. You would hope that Carolina could maybe find a way not to have to go through that again, but especially with that being on the back end of the schedule, wouldn't expect anything different. Then the game that Josh mentioned, you have to go up to Boston College, Chestnut Hill, on November 23rd, so a late season matchup with the Eagles, a team that's expected to be pretty good. I think this is probably the best team that they've had in a very, very long time. To be honest with you, I think it's probably going to be a team that could factor into the ACC race on the at least, you know, a dark horse team. Could potentially win 8 games, 9 if they really have a special season. So I think that's a team that, you know, in years past, you would say, easier game for Carolina to face. But I think ultimately that's going to be a really tough matchup. And then November 30th in Keenan Stadium, you know what game it is to close out the regular season. And this, hate to say it, and I wrote it in the article, this might actually be the best team that you face all season. Depends on how their season goes as a whole. We know the way that NC State's program history is stacked up. We're hoping that it happens to them again, that they fall short. But this is a team, the way that they have recruited, but especially the way that they have hit the transfer portal. This team that NC State has is built as good as any that we've seen really since Phillip Rivers was on campus. This feels like one of those teams that has a chance to do something special for NC State, and there's a chance that this is a team that could come in to Chapel Hill ranked inside the top 10 when they when this matchup happens. Carolina, of course, will be desperate to get a win over NC State. They have lost 3 in a row to them, so there is a chance that Carolina could come out fired up for that one for what feels like the first time in probably a decade or so. But I think when you look at this schedule, there's a couple of games here. I mean, first of all, when you look at some of the games, I mean, I feel like more than in years past, right? I look at this schedule, there's games that I see and I say they're automatic losses. I feel like in years past, I mean, yeah, this past year, I think we all looked at Clemson and thought that was a loss. But it feels like this year more than any, there are multiple games. I look at it right now and I count 3, 4, maybe even 5 that I find hard-pressed to pick Carolina to win. And that's the first time really since the end of the Larry Fedora era. Maybe year one of the Mack Brown era that you can actually look at the schedule and feel that way. And to me, I mean, that feels it's a little disheartening.
I mean, maybe on the surface, I think when you look at it in totality, it's just where you are when you're losing the best quarterback in the history of your program. And people need to have different expectations for this season. Basically, get back to what our expectations are year in, year out. You give us 7 to 8 wins, make a bowl game, compete against your rivals, we'll take it. And that's going to be the case this year because there's a very good chance this team they don't make a bowl game. That's very much in play here with how good some of the other teams in the ACC have gotten. and how good some of these teams play you, like a Georgia Tech that seems to have your number. Going to Boston College, not going to be easy. And so I don't know if it's just disheartening. I think it's just reality that the last 5 years were fun. And this is the thing I preached about it the whole time, is that we came out of this 5 year stretch with nothing to show for it. There's not a lot of trophies, you know, not a lot of hardware to point to and say, man, we got a lot done. And now you're kind of back to reality. And reality is that, you know, you're just you're hoping to be entertained more often than not, and at least make a bowl game. And this year, I think it's in the cards, but I also would not be surprised if this team misses their first bowl game under Mac Brown.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, if that happens, then that's one of the biggest failures, because, I mean, Chris Smith says it right here. And I don't know if this is the exact stat. First of all, I don't think it can be, because these stats haven't been released yet. The fourth easiest schedule in the nation. I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case. I guess it could be, because they know the home and away designations, but even still, you got to see how it stacks up. I think the part that is disheartening is some of the teams on the schedule. Like, this is, let's be real honest, overall, this is a pretty easy schedule. Like, the most difficult teams that are on this schedule, like that would be difficult for just about any team to face, are Florida State and probably NC State. Every other team is should be beatable, but Georgia Tech is not a team that I feel like you can beat at this point, because you have not found a way to beat them in the last three tries with teams that were the first 2 years were just downright putrid that you lost to. They didn't play them in 22. That's right. So the 21 team, and the 23 team, or no, excuse me, I'm getting it mixed up. No, that was right. The 21-22 teams were not good. This past year, pretty solid team, but still shouldn't have gotten beat by them. Virginia, is that now a team that you look at and say is a difficult game? Like, the fact that we're even questioning that is a problem. And then Boston College. Like, those are teams that, like, and I get it, man. Boston College is supposed to be good this year. But, I mean, the expectation should be that you should not go into those games. Like, those should be toss-up games. The fact that, like, to me, like, I don't think Boston College is a win right now. Like, I wouldn't even put that as a toss-up game. I think if Carolina goes there and wins, that's an upset. Because I think Boston College this year is a better team than Carolina. And the way that Carolina is recruited, the fact that that's actually the truth is kind of a joke. Like, that's not a good look at all. So, I mean, I don't know. That's, to me, why I sort of labeled it disheartening. You know, and look, I mean, Chris Smith says, does Mac Brown get fired if he doesn't make a bowl game? First of all, I'll let you in on a hint here. Mac Brown is never getting fired. Let's just put that out there. If he ends up leaving, it will be because it is a mutual parting of ways. That's how they will phrase it. Basically, they will push him to go into retirement, but he will never officially be fired. I mean, you said that there is a realistic chance that this team does not make a bowl game. I mean, you said that you like the way this team starts in September. I mean, if they come out and get off to a relatively good start and end up missing a bowl game, I mean, that's something then has to change. There's absolutely zero chance that Mac Brown is your coach moving forward, right?
I mean, you would imagine so, but it's also a program that's rebuilding. And, you know, these types of step backs, they happen. They're on the table. So, Because I mean,
not really. Not with the talent that you brought in. Like if you actually brought in legitimate talent, then you which the ratings show you coming out of the high school ranks that you've done, then I mean you cannot miss a bowl game. I'm sorry. Like that's completely unacceptable.
I mean, I guess this is Tar Heel football, so I mean, I think if you come out of September 3-2, you got to be happy, because I don't see you winning at Minnesota open the year, and then the Duke game's probably a toss up. You haven't lost to them since Matt came back, but really outside of Sam's first 2 years, you haven't beaten them down since. And even though they lost their head coach, there's still positive momentum, positive energy in that program. So, you know, and they'll be hungry to end the streak. So they got to take care of their home games. That's going to be the thing that's going to put them in a position to make a bowl game, because, you know, I think it's, you're asking a lot for this team to win some of the road games at Minnesota open the year, at Florida State, at Boston College. I think those are that's too much to ask, which is why I think it puts a bowl game in question, because you have games at home that are very losable as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the majority of the games at home are winnable. I think the ones that you look at and you would say could probably be losses would be State and Georgia Tech. Other than that, I feel like you should feel confident that you can take care of the other games on that home schedule. You should be able to. And if you want to get anywhere, you have to. And the thing is that, look, in that case, even if you lose to Georgia Tech and you lose to NC State, all you would have to do if you win the rest of your home games is win one road game. And you should, I mean, to me, you said you should be happy with 3-2. No, you in the first month, you should not be. You should beat Duke. Duke, I get it. They are a team that, you know, is bringing in Malik Murphy. They feel confident. Still, he's a new quarterback, you know, that's coming in. He's going to be in a newer situation. I get that he'll have 4 weeks to settle in. But at the same time, I mean, this is a guy that was incredibly talented coming out of high school. And a lot of people felt like he would be able to do some really good things when he was at Texas. This is a completely different group that's around him at Duke. They lost a lot of talent, a lot of it to graduation, to the transfer portal after Mike Elko left. Manny Diaz, I don't think is a bad hire there. I don't think that they're going to be as bad as some people think they are. But at the same time, this is that's a game that you should be able to win. The expectation should be that you should start the season 5-1. But anything is certainly possible. But I think that if you start the season 5-1, if you can't get one win the rest of the season and you end up missing a bowl game, that's a pretty damning statement, because that would be yet again another complete collapse. And this one would result ultimately in you not making the postseason. At that point, I find it hard to believe that you could come, you can come back from that if you're Mac Brown and this staff and the rest of this staff. Now, speaking of the home games that you brought up, I saw this going around yesterday from some of the people, a lot of people commenting this on the article when I put it up, sort of breaking down the schedule, or Wednesday, rather. Sorry, the days are getting mixed up. I've been sick, and it's been crazy these last couple of days. But you look at the home slate, Charlotte on September 7th, North Carolina Central on September 14th, James Madison on September 21st, Pittsburgh October 5th, Georgia Tech October 12th, Wake November 16th, and NC State November 30th. I have seen some people, first of all, saying weakest home slate that Carolina's ever had, which I mean, I guess there is a, there's certainly a case for that. I think you could make the case that some of the ones under Larry were probably up there as well, especially considering some of those involved playing two FCS teams at home during a season. But I've also seen people complaining about the fact that we don't have any interesting opponents that are coming to Keenan Stadium. I mean, I got to be honest. Is this a thing? Because for you, like for you and me, and I think we're on the same wavelength here. Like, to me, I don't care who comes to Keenan Stadium. I really don't care about how good other teams are when they come to Chapel Hill. Frankly, I don't care if we don't face a ranked team at home the entire season. I would rather not. I want to face teams that Carolina can beat at home, because when I go to games, I want to see my team win at home. I couldn't believe the amount of people that were angry about the fact that we couldn't get Florida State or Boston College at home so that they would have an interesting game to see in Keenan Stadium. I mean, to me, like, I don't know. I guess, the first of all, the fact that the team isn't going to be nearly as good as it's been in past years will probably make some of these games a lot more interesting than you'd like them to be. But the other thing is I just, to me, I don't really care about being entertained by the other teams that are coming into the stadium. I couldn't believe that when I saw that last night.
I mean, it's definitely a lot more fun when you're playing high-profile games, but this is the schedule that you have.
And well, I'm going to tell you, if you played high-profile games at home this season, like if you played Florida State at home this season, you could pack that in as a loss. Like so you want to go to the stadium knowing that they're going to lose?
Well, I mean, like, you know,
I don't get that.
There's always a different energy, like when you go, when like you get to go see him play in Notre Dame, you get to go to like one of those types of games. There's a different energy in the crowd. This is reality with them expanding the conference, and with you gonna have to factor in going out west, moving forward too, and you're bringing some, what, you know, some years you're bringing these West Coast teams in into your home stadium as well. So, I mean, I get the sense of you probably shouldn't expect the stadium to be filled every Saturday, and you probably shouldn't expect the same type of crowds we've had since Mack Brown came back. But, you know, unless you're a big-time program that's going out and scheduling these big-time home-and-homes, with conference realignment and conference expansion continuing to do what it's doing, you're going to have these middle-of-the-road teams in these conferences playing meh schedules at home. And that's what Carolina got dealt with this year. You let them, you know, you let them get winning. Yeah, if they were a high-profile team, the schedule would look different. But they're not. The ACC knows they're not. And they need to have their high-profile teams, Clemson, Florida State, NC State, playing high-profile matchups week in, week out.
Well, first of all, the schedule would not look different, because unless they were scheduling different games at a conference, remember that the home and road designations have already been set and for the conference games through 2030. So you already know who you're going to play at home and on the road for the next 7 years. So it doesn't – I mean, it doesn't matter. You face the schedule that you face each year. I just don't understand the hand-wringing, especially for this year's team, of why do we not get to see games with these teams that are coming in? Like, you want teams that want to that are going to come in here and steamroll your football team this year? Like, if you welcomed in Clemson, Florida State on top of NC State just for your entertainment, like, I don't understand. That's supposed to make me feel better about going and seeing this team. No, I'm liking the fact that there are games on the schedule here, even with a team that has a lot of question marks, that I look at and I say, I feel like they're winnable. You know, as down as I am about, you know, the way they play Georgia Tech and the fact that I'm not going to pick them to beat Georgia Tech until they actually do, I mean, that's certainly a winnable game for Carolina. So, and same thing, I mean, as hard as it is to believe, we'll always believe this because it's a rivalry. Like NC State is one we will always believe we have a chance to win. You would just hope that at some point these guys would find a way to dig down. They would get sick of getting their ass kicked and would find a way to dig down deep and, you know, get a little bit of extra motivation enough to be able to beat that team. So, I mean, all these games on the schedule are relatively, you know, attractive enough to me where I'm going to go and want to watch this team play. I mean, I get it. You know, they're not the sexiest non-conference matchups, but at the same time, you know, it's a chance for you to go out and potentially see your team win. And I don't feel like anybody should be mad about that. All right. Well, we put it up off long enough. Let's go through, let's do our win-loss predictions as the schedule sits right now. We do this every single year where we kind of go through, and then afterwards we'll sort of talk about what the floor and what the ceiling could be for this team ultimately. But let's start with the game. Season opener, Thursday night, August 29th. The Tar Heels travel up to Minnesota. You have that as a win or a loss?
I have that as a loss.
Yeah, I think it's a loss too. As I said, you know, Minnesota's a team that's kind of rebuilding. I think they're going to have a lot of question marks. I think it's probably a toss-up. I think it's an ugly game. I think it's one of those games where, you know, Carolina, we've seen them play these types of games early in the season when they have question marks. I think it'll be close. Carolina will have a chance to win, but I think ultimately they'll probably fall short. They then, you know, come home that next Saturday, take on the Charlotte 49ers. First ever meeting with the Niners. What do you think about that one, win or loss?
I'll go ahead and give you my next three just to go by a little bit quicker. I think they win their first three games at home. Home to Charlotte, home to NC Central, home to James Madison. I think those are all three wins for Carolina.
Yeah, I'll say, look, I think Charlotte will be one of those games they could fight early. Biff Poggi is a guy that's, I think, got the pulse of that locker room. They're going to have a lot of turnover again this year, though, and that could be something that you see ultimately with him as a coach because of how he is. But I think Carolina should win that one relatively easily. They'll probably pull away. NC Central, like I said, really good FCS program, two really successful years. But if it's an FCS program, Carolina should win that game pretty easily. And then James Madison, look, I think that one could be interesting. I think you've got to kind of figure out what that team ultimately is going to be in the first 3 weeks of the season. They do play some pretty telling games early on in the year that'll sort of set the tone. But ultimately, I still think that Carolina should have the talent advantage there. That's not the same team from a year ago. So Carolina should end up winning that game. All right, let's get into conference play. Close out the month of September at Duke. What do you have that one?
I'll chalk it up to a loss at the moment. I still think Duke's in a good spot after losing Mike Elko. I think Manny Diaz will prove to be a quality coach in the ACC where he's not at a program where they have unrealistic expectations. And Duke played Carolina tough both years with Drake May. Past year, you won in double overtime, and then at their place 2 years ago, Drake had to drive them in the final minute to win the game. So Duke's been close. I think this probably feels like a year that they get over the hump and get their first win in the rivalry since Mack Brown came back for his second stint in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I will say this is a win for Carolina. I think it'll be similar to those games that you talked about. It'll be close. But to me, if Mike Elko couldn't beat Carolina, how in the world is Manny Diaz going to beat Carolina in his first year back there, a team that's going to be still undergoing a lot of adjustments because of all the changes that they had in the offseason? They have a really good quarterback that'll make this game tougher than you would think if he hadn't transferred in. But I do think Carolina finds a way to pull that one off and continue that streak over Duke. They then return home for the game against Pittsburgh. We'll actually, you know what, we'll go back-to-back as they have back-to-back home games, Pittsburgh and Georgia Tech. What do you see in those two games?
I think Georgia Tech will be a win. I think Carolina's figured out how to beat them under Mack Brown.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that'll be a win. I think Pitt's not going to be really anything. I think Carolina's figured them out. I think Carolina loses to Georgia Tech, and I think more because I think Georgia Tech's going to be a solid football team this year. I think Brent Key has turned that place around. He's figured out, you know, what it takes to win there, the type of kids you have to get in there. There's energy in that program for the first time in what feels like a decade. Whereas 2 years ago and even this past year felt like bad losses, I don't think if Carolina loses to them, we'll be saying it's a bad loss, because I like the momentum that Georgia Tech is at right now. So I think Carolina splits their two-game homestand.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Pittsburgh, as you've said, Carolina's kind of found their rhythm against them again. So successful against them under Larry Fedora, struggled the first couple of years under Mac Brown, but it really just feels like things have turned in their direction. That game's at home, so I think they get that win. Georgia Tech, yeah, as I said, I can't pick Carolina over them, and you're right. I think there is definitely reason to believe that they could ultimately be a better team than Carolina is this year. The one thing that would probably give me a little bit of pause and probably a little bit of hope for this game is that I don't know how good that team's going to be defensively, because they did lose so many key pieces to the transfer portal, and they didn't really have a chance to replace those guys. So, I mean, look, I know that's a program that's heading in the right direction. Maybe they have some young guys that they brought in out of the high school ranks that could come in and make an immediate impact. But that's the one thing that could give you a little bit of hope. But, yeah, I just can't pick Carolina to win that game. Then you got back-to-back games on the road. Carolina travel after a bye, they travel to Virginia and to Florida State. What do you think ultimately happens in those games?
I think they split them. I think they win at Virginia. I don't think last year's win was going to be the launching point that Tony Elliott needs it to be to turn that program around. I think Virginia is just becoming almost an impossible job. And I think it's going to be a place where coaches' careers go to die. So I think Carolina bounces back, gets on the road, gets a win on the road in Charlottesville. And then Florida State, we know what the deal is. Mac Brown can't beat them. They're still going to be a quality 10-win football team. Mike Norvell has got them pretty much back almost, where they're going to be contending for a conference championship, at-large berth in the college football playoff. No chance Carolina goes on the road in that environment and gets a win. So I think they split.
I think they lose both. I think Virginia is going to be one of those thorns in the side until Mac Brown can prove it again. I think that they're a program that is buzzing off of a really good portal. And I think this is one of those games that will probably be a toss-up going in, because Carolina just struggles there historically. I think Carolina probably ends up, falling short because of the fact that it is a road game. And then Florida State, I don't see any way Carolina – I got to be honest. I don't even know how Carolina goes down there and competes, because you will, again, probably be feeling the same way that you felt the last couple of years, because you will have lost to Georgia Tech and Virginia with the way that I have things going. And then you have to face – arguably your toughest game of the season, because it is a road game. So I don't see any way that Carolina ends up beating Florida State or even hanging around with them. So ultimately I see Carolina slipping in both of those games. Then they go back home and take on Wake Forest. What do you think about that one?
I think Carolina wins just because they beat Wake Forest no matter what, it feels like, outside of the first year under Mac Brown. I do think Wake Forest is going to bounce back. Dave Clawson's too good of a coach for them to have back-to-back down years. So I think Carolina gets the win to get to bowl eligibility.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Carolina wins that game. That's a Wake Forest team that, yeah, I think they do ultimately end up bouncing back, but I don't really know how good they're going to be. I still think they're a team that's probably going to be right around where Carolina's at, in terms of on the border of making and missing a bowl game. So ultimately, I think, you know, who knows? This could end up being what determines who makes a bowl game. The loser of this game probably misses out while the winner probably makes it in. I think Carolina, because it's at home, finds a way. And as you mentioned, the recent history against them, I think that factors in as well. Carolina gets the win in that one. Then they have to travel up to Chestnut Hill to take on Boston College. What do you think about that matchup with the Eagles?
Loss. I think, Boston College is going to be good. They'll be a bowl team. It's on the road in late November. It's either A, going to be cold, or B, it's going to be snowing, or C, it's going to be doing all the above. And I don't think Carolina's equipped to go on the road in that type of environment and win, combined with the fact that I think Boston College is a solid team, and Jeff Hafley's done a pretty good job with that program. I think Carolina gets beat.
Yeah, I think they get beat in that one too. You know, I think it's one of those games where Carolina could be hanging around. But again, you know, even if you saw that one as a toss up, which I don't, I think Boston College will probably win it. You know, they'll probably go away a little bit in the fourth quarter. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, Carolina is just not going to be on the same level as that team this year, which is sad to say. But I think Boston College is a team that's going to be fighting for 8-9 wins. Carolina is going to be fighting to get to 6 or 7. And then ultimately the season finale at home against NC State. What do you say?
I think Carolina loses. The rivalry is pretty one-sided. State may have their best team ever. They have a legitimate shot to win an ACC championship, a legitimate shot to make the college football playoff. And I don't see them squandering those opportunities at the hands of us because our kids just don't care enough. And they're not motivated enough to win that game. And it doesn't matter if it's at home or on the road. State gets up for it. And I think Carolina's looking at what would be a fourth straight loss to NC State.
Yeah, I don't think there's – I mean, I just can't see it happening. That team is just going to be too good, as you mentioned. They're going to be fighting to make the college football playoff. I don't see it. There's going to be so much motivation. Carolina may be motivated too, but I think the motivation factor for NC State will be even higher than any that we've ever seen before. You would imagine that that'll just be too much for Carolina to overcome. And so both of us have them going 6-6. Now, when you look at, you know, the floor for this team ultimately, I mean, where do you see like the possibility of this team bottoming out? I mean, just looking back at the schedule, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's hard to see this team going worse than 5-7. I mean, I'd be absolutely stunned because if they're worse than that, I mean, maybe they could go 4-8 if they end up losing. To me, the games that I would have that would flip would be Wake Forest and Duke. But I mean, even that, I think maybe the floor is 4-8, but I think 5-7 would probably be where I would put it at.
Yeah, no, I think at worst they go 5-7 because defense doesn't take the step forward. Whether you start, you know, Max Johnson or Connor Harrell, you don't get the quarterback play that you've gotten in recent years that elevated you to 8-9 wins. So I still think they're going to compete week in, week out. Outside of really the Florida State game and the NC State game, those are only two games I look at and think that Carolina could get beaten and get beaten pretty soundly in. So I think at worst you go 5-7 just because, you know, your quarterback doesn't make the plays that you've been getting the last couple of years, or you can't overcome the defensive deficiencies that you've had in recent years. So, and then their ceiling, like I've got them at 6-6. To me, their ceiling is 7-5. Like maybe you flip, you know, a Duke loss or that Georgia Tech loss into a win. I think if you're 8-4, I think you should be ecstatic and be really pleased with that type of year. But I also think if you go 7-5, there's reason to be happy with the work that they put together, because, you know, when you look at this program historically, when they've had to transition the way that it's transitioning right now, you know, it's usually not good. There's usually a 3 or 4 win season in there. So if this team gives you 7 wins, guarantees you a winning year, you should still be, you know, excited, because I feel like this is a program that's building more for 2025 to be their next real shot at being a legit contender in the ACC.
Yeah, I think their ceiling is probably, I would say, 8-4. I think that could probably be the highest you could see them going. I mean, maybe I would say 8-4, the ceiling. 9-3 would be an extremely special year, and that would be more than likely because Boston College is not as good as we think they could be. There's so many games that could end up being toss-ups. Like, again, the games that I, like you said, that I don't think that you can really look at and think they win right now are Florida State and State at home. But I mean, yeah, if they could find a way to beat Georgia Tech, Virginia, find a way to open the season with a win against Minnesota, that would be huge. Then it's possible that they could find a way to get to 8-4, and I think that would be, you know, really, really good. You're right. You would be ecstatic with that, especially with the group that Carolina is going to have coming into the year. So, I mean, ultimately, I think that's probably what you're hoping for. But I don't know. Like, I want to be positive. I feel like we've been positive, you know, for the last few years, or at least we've gotten there, you know, at a certain point in the season. This year, I think more than any, it's going to be as difficult as any to be positive. And yeah, it's because you don't have that special quarterback. It's because it feels like you're in rebuild mode. But, you know, ultimately, I mean, maybe this is what this team needs. They've had so many expectations over the last few years. And it just seems like every time that the expectations start to grow for this team, and you start to feel like this is finally a chance for them to do something special, they seem to find a way to fall apart, and ultimately it ends up in the team collapsing down the stretch. Maybe this year, with less pressure on them, with what we perceive as an easier schedule, maybe that ends up helping Carolina. Still much more difficult down the stretch than it is to begin the season, but who knows? Maybe that ends up helping Carolina, and they can find a way to actually reach their ceiling instead of, you know, trending more towards the floor that we've talked about over the last few years that they've ultimately finished around. So hopefully that doesn't become the case this year. Guys, I wanted to tell you this episode of the podcast was sponsored by Autograph. I don't know if you guys have seen it on social media, been advertising this a little bit. We are partnering with the Autograph app. The thing is, look, you want to get rewarded for listening to our show? Of course you do. And yes, it's actual rewards for listening to the show. The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show or reading one of our articles on the website. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place, and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it for free today using our referral code HEALTUFF. That's HEALTUFF, all one word. Link and code are also in our podcast description, so make sure that you guys check that out. We would greatly appreciate that. If you could sign up, that helps us out. It'll earn us just a little bit of money, At the same time, for you guys, whenever you go on there, you can go onto this app. Guys, I've used it. It's fantastic. You can go on there and read all of the different Tar Heel content. So it's not just us. We would prefer, of course, that you especially read our stuff and listen to our podcast. But there's a whole bunch of different UNC content on there, and you get points for each time that you read an article, each time that you listen to a podcast, and it goes into your bank, and then eventually it'll get you into, you know, a sort of reward system where you can get tickets. They have been doing this. I was talking with the person that contacted me initially. She told me that this past year they actually ended up sending Michigan fans, because that was the group that they first started this reward type system with. They actually sent fans of fans from that fan base to both the Rose Bowl and to the national championship game. The tickets were discounted just immensely. I think it was three tickets for like 300 and something bucks to go to the national championship game. You can't beat that. So yeah, guys, make sure that you go and check all that great stuff out. There's plenty of great rewards on that app. Again, that is Autograph Fandom Rewarded. Search it on the Apple App Store. And when you get there, you need a referral code. Heel Tough is the referral code to use. So that's going to shut it down for this edition of the podcast. Make sure you guys send in your record predictions. We want to hear those from you guys. Hopefully they're a little bit more positive than we are. We'd love a little bit of positivity to get us fired up for this upcoming season. But regardless, make sure you send those in. We'd love to hear from you guys. In the meantime, we're going to close it down here on this edition of the show. So for tonight, we want to thank you guys for watching and listening. I want to thank Josh for hosting with me. And as always, go Tar Heels!